Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
No, not sexy, like real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
Merry Christmas. This is the Christmas episode.
Ho, ho, ho.
It's my favorite part of that movie. When he goes to see Santa Claus, and then they do the camera trick where he's just like really like in his face. Ho, ho.
Was that Fast and Furious? What is that?
Christmas Story.
It was. I was at first. I'm like, I don't know where that's coming from.
I like the Wizard of Oz. Yeah, don't bother me. I'm thinking.
That's what we were talking about last night after we stopped recording, that he was in a movie called The Dirt Bike Kid. I was like, yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
No, he crushed it so good out of the gate.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy. Do you think they're just like residuals of A Christmas Story? How does that work?
I don't know, but if so, December's a good month for him every year. TBS does the marathon on Christmas Eve day.
Is that what they do? They just play it?
Yeah, like, it seems like the last 10 or 15 years, starting at like noon on, or maybe 2 p.m. Christmas Eve day, they'll do 24 hours.
I don't know if I need to see it ever again. But I would, if there was like kids, I'd be like, all right, you should watch. This is what everybody says about, was it Miracle on 34th Street? Mm-hmm.
Or a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life, which I haven't seen either of them.
You haven't seen either one of those?
Nope.
Oh, my God.
Nope, not one for the classics.
Huh. Black and white's too hard to pay attention to.
It all just looks the same. I need some car chases. No.
What if there was a violent car chase in
just hidden in Breakfast at Tiffany's? Be my favorite movie.
Oh, man.
They're racing because they're about to close Breakfast at Tiffany's, and it's a car chase. Then camp out for tickets.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good. This is the Christmas episode,
mm-hmm.
Which we're recording after last – well, we can admit that
we've clustered a bunch
out of order.
Yeah, because we have to with our schedule.
Last night we tried to record one. I thought it went great. You today told me it was a mess.
Of course you thought it went great. You fell asleep during the podcast. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. We were still recording towards the end, and you fell asleep for about a second and a half. You dozed off on the air. And for some reason, I thought that that was not one of our best efforts.
Really?
You were like... Do you remember being very, not belligerent, but, you know, because I was like, well, you know, he's like, fuck them. If there's no rules. If they don't like it, they don't have to fucking listen. Well, just calm down.
I might have to listen to this one before we send it off.
Yeah, I had to corral you in last night.
Well.
Of course, it was a weird night. We recorded one, then we got pulled away, and we came back.
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe this is the kind of real talk people want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, this is what people want now. Real talk.
Real talk.
Doesn't have to be factual, but it has to be real.
Yeah. Not fake. Not the fake news.
No. Speaking of which, we're coming off the two-parter about Pizzagate, which some people were upset with. Like, even talking about – like, first off, we clearly
– I thought just, I prefaced it enough that we weren't picking a side.
No. We're just talking about a conspiracy in the new – a current conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. And then, somebody online, like, you're legitimizing it. Like, we're not legitimizing shit. Like, if this podcast is legitimizing something for you, you have a problem with facts.
If you're getting your news from us.
Yeah, if you're citing us as a legitimate source of information, no, you're incorrect.
Entertainment.
And we're stretching the definition of that, apparently. Swearing at the listeners, then falling asleep on the microphone.
I get both sides of it, you know, but people's like, it's fake news. And I want to say, where'd you hear that? Regardless, you heard that or read that somewhere, right? Well, same could be said
but
for,
that's
for this
the,
stuff.
That's the problem I have. Like, well, that's fake news.
And I hope it is, by the way.
Yeah.
I hope all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know? nobody wants that out in the world. But the harsh reality is that stuff does happen.
But then reading about all the non, like, it's fake because this isn't real. And a guy, I guess a guy went in there with a gun, this pet, you know?
Yeah.
And investigating his own. But all right, is that the danger? Is that just like, again, is that just a crazy person? Like, he was going to be crazy somewhere?
Yeah, and in his mind, it was justified because he's, you know, I'm going to go kill the bad guys, which, okay, I don't necessarily disagree with, but make sure. I hope he didn't listen to us and then pick up a gun.
Yeah,
and go
yeah.
Like, you better make sure.
There's this radio show on the computer. And lots of times they're talking about how to spice your meats and everything, but then once in a while, anyway, here's my gun. I know that's a big thing now is getting people turned off on like how the media is evil now. The media is evil. That's what Trump got everybody to ignore the media. Mm-hmm. Just believe one dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't believe lots of sources. The media. All the media. But believe one guy who's in charge. Like, ugh, it's dangerous times. Yeah, Merry Christmas, it really everybody.
Is. Yeah, enough of that. Let's focus on the good times, Kyle. But,
yeah, well, yeah, we just had to address that from the last couple episodes that you could tell we weren't taking sides. Let's talk about this is the Christmas episode. Mm-hmm. We tried to record it last night. Apparently, it didn't go well. So you might get a bonus Christmas episode next week. Well, I'll listen. We'll see what happens. And I'm paying for it. I'm sitting here with my tart cherry juice because I got the old gout toe today.
Yeah, you're hobbling around, man.
Yeah, Tim, that rye whiskey. Ooh, that rye whiskey gonna get you.
Yeah. Is that how it works? Like, when now that you have gout, you did drink a decent amount of whiskey last night, so can you just assume, all right, well, tomorrow's gonna suck? Or is it still sporadic?
It's still sporadic because I haven't stopped drinking anything. Like, well, beer's awful. Mm-hmm. So I would cut beer out, and then I'd feel better and be like, beer's delicious. And I'd start drinking beer again, and then like, oh, son of a bitch. And now this is just – it's been a whole rigmarole from the last few weeks. But we'll tough it out.
Yeah.
Holiday spirit.
Holiday spirit, buddy. Do you enjoy Christmas? Are you a festive dude?
You know what? I think not having kids, and there's not like, and I don't have any like close nieces or nephews or anything to get excited about. I would rather just chill out. I feel bad. It's more like I could tell it's my mom's holiday. She likes lots. You want to be participatory in it. But I don't have decorations up. I don't do that, you know, for myself.
Boy, we got them at my place.
Yeah, the roommates hit you with the...
Oh, my God.
And I like that, though. You get just four adult dudes trying to look innocent.
And I'm not one of these people who is overtly... against Christmas. You hear those people like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, have a little fun.
Your joke about living in a halfway house is pretty great. It's pretty accurate, seeing how they do decorate. Like, it's a spirit. And everybody's like, well.
Yeah, there's this undertone of forced innocence of like, this is what normal people do, right?
Guessing there's no liquor in this eggnog, right, Jeff? Oh, what a party.
No, my roommates, they're all good dudes, but they go overboard. And it's just, I don't know, it's just weird for four dudes in their 40s to just completely just Santa vomit all over the apartment.
Does anybody have a girlfriend there?
Yeah, two of them do. Yeah, they have girlfriends, but they don't live there with them. So
the two guys who decorate the apartment have girlfriends.
They have girlfriends, yeah. Yeah. And it's not that it's I think I would appreciate it more if it was more of a traditional. It's like there's a bunch of Yoda figurines with Santa hats on them,
and then
Disney posters. Our posters they rotate. They rotate with the season. So
that's fun.
The day after Thanksgiving, four or five framed Disney movie posters went up, and so those changed.
Diversify
about
the brands.
Or six times. Yeah.
What do they do for Easter? What's an Easter movie?
I don't know. They have something kind of their catch-all generic ones, but they even celebrate Easter. Like Easter, there's a couple of Easter bags, baskets sitting around and stuff like that. And it's
just candy.
Like, yeah, candy.
Do you eat the candy out of those baskets?
Yeah, of course.
Then you can't say
That's
shit
true.
Right now. You can't say shit if you're also they decorate, and with decoration comes cookies and candies and a lovely spread. Just you sitting there with a handful of red and green M&Ms, like, look at these fucking assholes. Tarting up my place like I ain't never seen a naked tit before around here. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Some ginger snaps laid out for you by these nice roommates.
No, it's great. It's nice. It's just, it's odd. It's nothing I've ever encountered. I've never had that much Christmas shoved down my throat without the context of, like, family.
That, yeah, especially knowing that it's 50, you know, you and Singer mm-hmm. and then the other two roommates. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, hey, you guys mind? Like, not that, I mean, you moved in after the fact.
Oh, those dudes have lived there 15 years, and that's part of it. Like, that's their place, so... And they're that's into
two
this.
Guys
they're
into there for 15 years.
Yeah, they're into, you know, all the stuff that they're into, and this is how it's going to be decorated, and that's fine. Well, it's just,
you know what? I'm still rooting for them, given the hatred in the world, pizza party kid fuckery. You know what? You got a couple of grown men that live with a couple other grown men, and they just want to be festive. Well, who am I to say? No,
it could be worse. Yeah, no, I'd rather have that than just four hateful curmudgeons that hated everything.
Yeah,
you know,
why not live in a place with a bunch of Easter decorations and not a child in sight?
Halloween is nuts.
Well, Halloween is in all ages.
Yeah, yeah, that one I don't mind. Yeah, but Christmas and Easter and some of the Valentine's, even Valentine's shit, and I don't know, it's fine.
It's interesting. Yeah. I'll say it's curious.
So you're, you're not even in town, so you don't.
No, I'm always go. I always go back. It was my first year. I'm not going home for Christmas. Lady friends.
Oh yeah. Let me ask you this though.
Hit me.
If you were to stay in town, like hypothetically mm-hmm. this year, if you were staying in town and Rachel was coming over on Christmas Day or whatever, would you have a Christmas tree up here?
I think I would do something if I was going to celebrate Christmas in town. Uh-huh. I would put up some stuff.
Okay.
If you got somebody you're going to open presents with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would do that.
That's cool. I'm fortunate that I haven't noticed a lot this year. Every mm-hmm. damn Christmas, it's the Happy Holidays versus Merry Christmas debate.
Oh, it was some asshole that got bent out of shape. Mm-hmm. I'll look up his name.
But every year, that's a topic.
Yeah.
And yeah, I am pro-Christmas, and Christmas is part of my cultural heritage, or that's how I have always celebrated. But hey, Christians, don't get pissed just because somebody wants to say happy holidays, because Christmas is a Christian-based thing. And if someone's not a Christian, maybe they're not into it and want to celebrate it. It's the fact that who gives a shit, you know? Like, if someone says happy holidays, don't give them shit.
Well,
because guess what? There's some other stuff going on. There's Hanukkah.
Yeah.
There's Kwanzaa. There's – I don't know. That just always seemed – even though I – was raised with Christmas, I'm not going to demand that you acknowledge Christmas.
Well, the fact that it's that you got to – like it's a war. Like it's just – everybody thinks something's being taken away.
And vice versa real quick. Not people who are offended mm-hmm. by Christmas, take it easy. Just because if someone does say Merry Christmas, they don't mean any harm. I'm just saying both sides, just relax.
Yeah. Where is it? Was some asshole that just went off? He was some government like or talking head guy who just had some tweet that was like, "Don't give me this crap."
Oh yeah,
and it's scared white people thinking something's being taken mm-hmm. away from them.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Joe Walsh.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Who? That's not the same Joe Walsh, is it?
From the Eagles?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, because I...
That's what I thought, too. I'm like, yeah. Whoa, man, when did...
So there's two Joe Walshes.
The mellowest Eagle get upset.
Hacks. Okay.
Get, hey, you're not a fan of Joe?
The Eagles.
Bunch
of generic slop. They got a couple... I mean, their songs are catchy, but like...
I gotta burn
them up. Not bad, just unnecessary. Who gives a shit?
I see that. Okay.
A whole bunch of nothing.
You know what that argument is? That's the happy holidays versus Merry Christmas. So what if somebody likes the Eagles?
No, I don't care. I don't care that I'm telling you, I think they suck.
I know, but everybody after Big Lebowski all of a sudden had an opinion about
it. Of course.
It. Finally got
I
told their opinion about the Eagles.
I get
and
that.
And nobody. Fuck, if you're 55 and divorced, and you want to be pissed about the Eagles at me? All right, I'll let you have that one. But if you're 30, shut the fuck up. You don't have an opinion about the Eagles.
They've been shoved down my throat my entire life.
Who's shoving Eagles down your throat? Who's doing it?
Radio, movies. It's just, they're out there. It's such a part of pop culture for the last 40 years. Because it's so bland and safe and benign and non-threatening. Sure.
Yeah, it's just noise. It just fills the silence.
When in doubt, here's a generic bland eagle song. It
fills the silence. Mm-hmm. Much like nobody gives a shit about the bird, the Eagles, until they're just like, it's our bird. Now, oh, God, it's so majestic.
Am I insane that I somehow think bald eagles are smarter than other eagles because they're bald? They look wiser.
There's zero. Yeah, I think there's no basis for that whatsoever.
It's in my head. All right.
I mean, I didn't mean to like... shoot down your theories.
No, that one was ripe for the shoot.
Hey, that one's wearing glasses. Ask him directions. Someone with a scarf and a calculator.
Did you see
me get through college?
Did you see my van when I pulled up? Did you see what I did to the van?
What'd you do to it?
All right. I won't go into this, but I've had a rough week because I hit a freaking pothole in the middle of the freeway. I didn't get drunk and swerve off onto the emergency lane.
Yeah.
The number one lane of the 5 North Freeway. Just the size of a shallow grave. Just a giant pothole.
That's right. I was so used to potholes in the Midwest because the snow plows pull up all the patches.
Just destroyed my wheel. I just had to pay for a brand new wheel. Bent the hell out of the wheel. Anyway, in that process, I lost the hubcap.
Yeah.
And a week earlier, I lost another hubcap.
Yeah.
So as of this morning, I was missing one hubcap on each side. Both the front driver's side and the front passenger side, both hubcaps gone. But I still got to drive. Lift some before I leave. So, and it looks real janky if I pull up and there's just two hubcaps missing. So what I did is I took the back driver's side one off and put it on the back rear.
So you got one side of your van looking tight.
Yeah. So and when I pick people up with Lyft, I always pull up on that side.
That's just common sense.
Yeah. So
nobody can see both sides of your car at the same time.
Exactly. That was my logic. So I was like, yeah, might as well consolidate.
I would see people do that with rims sometimes. We're like, oh, I got a set of rims and back wheels. And then I saw one guy just put them on one side of his car. It was lopsided because they're like huge rims. And you can tell he like traded somebody or can only trade for like two of them. So I just put him on the driver's side. I was like, eh, right on, man. Yeah.
And it's kind of like I'm driving two different cars.
Yeah, good for you. You know? Party on the left, business on the right.
Absolutely. Were you a huge fan of Christmas as a child? Was it
Christmas was a blast?
The Super
yeah.
Bowl of the holidays, obviously.
Yeah, my folks. I mean, we didn't grow up with money, but Christmas was always a blast. I think that was one of the things. Like, not trying to pat myself, but pat my folks on the back. Like, was not raised materialistic.
Likewise.
So just the idea of a present or something would be like, ah, this is great.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have to.
Because really, you only had two chances to get presents, you know, when we were kids, birthday and Christmas.
Hey, my birthday is 2 days before Christmas.
Ooh,
so
that's right.
I got that thing going on.
Did you get cheated?
I don't think so.
Doubled down every year?
No, I don't think so. I think I got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because how can you judge it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a lot of sympathy for people who, it's my birthday. Like, so everybody has one of those.
Yeah.
Every living thing has one of those.
Yeah.
I'm not going to. It's like people throw parties. I'm like, get over it. Just because I never had. Just because I didn't grow up with like parties or anything.
I remember one time about five years ago, you posted something on Instagram or Twitter of you eating a burrito alone somewhere on your birthday.
Yeah, I was in Chicago. I was at Arturo's.
Oh, okay.
There's Arturo's and Lazo's.
I don't know why I thought you were on the road.
No, but I was. I think I just was at a bar, and then it was like the 22nd, and then it was after midnight, and I was eating a burrito. I'm like, oh, it's my birthday. Oh, okay. And I just ate a burrito by myself.
Yeah. And I'm not one of those people that think – I'm not going to totally shit on birthdays. I think it's a pleasant thing.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate our buddy here, you know, and buy him a couple drinks and whatever. But people who turn it into like a whole week.
Yeah, it's
or
birthday. It's not birth week.
Exactly. And get way into it. Like, come on.
Well, and we're in Los Angeles. Everybody's got to be a star. Everybody's got to like invite as many, you know, networking people they can to their birthday.
I always hated those. Birthday parties with like 100 people. Like, come on. I don't. I know always have people. I don't like 100.
They always have them at this place called the Edendale. I think it's the only reason the bar exists is because people have birthday parties there, and somebody always gets hit by a car running across the street.
Oh, no.
This place. Yeah, it's down. It's on Glendale. Yeah, and there's no light. And God forbid somebody walks the 40 feet to the light to cross safely. And it's on the crest of a hill. So it's like every weekend someone's getting hit by a car going to a goddamn showbiz birthday party down there. But anyway, back to it.
Yeah.
Yes, I enjoyed Christmas. It was a big thing. Decorate the house. And, you know, you live in the Midwest. It snows and you're out playing in the snow. And winter, and I don't like winter now. I despise it. But as a child, when you had warm clothes and you go sledding and fuck off, that was a blast. My mom was big with decorating the house, and they still would do the Santa thing. Like my mom would wait for us to go to bed and put presents out. Like wouldn't even put them out ahead of time. Would still wait for us to go to bed.
Okay, so
like
that,
Santa Claus was showing up.
So Christmas morning, you had gifts from both Santa Claus and family.
Yeah.
This one's from Santa Claus, and this one's from Mom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They mix it up.
The way we did it, the ones that were not wrapped, those were Santa Claus. Santa Claus obviously just dropped off a few hours ago in the middle of the night, and here's all his stuff that he didn't wrap. And then all the wrapped gifts had already been under the tree for a week or two.
See, Santa wrapped my gifts.
Really? Okay. Yeah. That was kind of our system. Like when for some reason, Santa never wrapped his gifts.
I think my parents just loved having it. It's like, why does it have the same handwriting as you? Well, I had to write. Or that it would be like, well, we had to wrap him. He's very busy. We had to wrap. Like, always loved having answers. And then when I was like, I was much older. Like, it was more of my sister, but I was like, all right, there's no Santa Claus and everything. And they got my cousin to, like, leave, like, who lived down the street to be in our house in a Santa outfit as we were coming home from midnight mass or something. We're like, oh, shit, Santa's in the house. And it was fun. It was a fun thing.
How old were you when you discovered that Santa wasn't real?
I was probably about 24, 25. No, I don't remember. Okay, and that's why it ties in to the Boogie Monster theme of, like, a suspension of disbelief where, you know, there's always somebody's dickhead older brother, like, you know, it's just your parents. Like, shut up!
Yeah.
And then,
older
of course,
kid on the bus.
Yeah, of course it made sense, but I had no reason. I mean, I know, but why it's harmless to just believe in the spirit of Christmas and be excited about it and have, you know, everybody's having fun and together and there's presents and you're sharing stuff. If Santa goes along with that, I'll go along with that. I think as a young person, the same way you go along with like a campfire story to get scared when you're in the woods. You're like, I know it's not real, but it's making things more fun.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it was fun those years that, you know, I did believe.
Yeah.
You know, I probably didn't really comprehend it till maybe 4 and probably 7 or 8, you know, discovered that it was bogus. So those 3 or 4 or 5 years, man, that was special because it was like maybe that starts, you know, your – or maybe me.
Yeah.
The whole, okay, I know even at 5 or 6 years old, if I believed in Santa, it was like, I know this is kind of still mythical and magical and not normal, but I believe. Yeah, I guess that's real. That's awesome.
And you're also bribed to believe in it because he's going to bring you stuff. It's not like there was just a, you know, one-way road there as well. If I don't believe in him, I won't get stuff.
Yeah.
And I want stuff. I mean, that was a good, you know, technique. If you're not good, Santa's not going to bring you stuff.
Yeah, that is true.
So, just a manipulative move on the parents' part.
Yeah.
My cousins were maniacs. They got whatever they wanted. I'm like, this isn't true at all. This isn't true.
Man, one of my best memories, I was probably 4 or 5. And we would always go out Christmas Eve in the car.
I got a little coal in my stocking. That one. Oops. Whoopsie.
Oh, boy. It's those Tennessee barking spiders.
Man, I took these alfalfa pills for gout. They don't do anything other than that.
That's funny.
Ugh.
Every Christmas Eve, we'd go out and look
like
at lights.
A tire fire.
Tire fire. That is funny.
Ugh.
We'd go out and look at lights. We'd drive around, and we'd go to the Waffle House, which I know that sounds real redneck, But it was a tradition, Christmas Eve at the Waffle House, and I loved it. It just, let's go to the damn Waffle House. So then we'd go drive around for a few hours and look at lights.
Let's feel thankful we're not working at a Waffle House on Christmas
Dude,
Eve.
Dude, Waffle House is the butt of a lot of jokes. They're the Lynyrd Skynyrd of chain restaurants. It's fun and easy to just associate it with dumb Southern idiots. But they're both fucking great. Waffle House is awesome.
One of my very few Waffle House experiences, I was sitting at the – I think I got to Virginia maybe, and I got there early. Like, I was couldn't even check into the hotel, so I got a rental car and started this tour. I was like, oh, Waffle House, I'll eat there. Look at all the working men and women getting their day started. And I was at the counter, and the guy behind the counter was like – squeezing out a dish rag, and it just squirted through his fingers because he's squeezing it so tight, and it squirted across everybody's food on the counter, and we all just ate it.
Yeah. One note to Waffle House, don't have the dish pit right there under the bar, the counter. That's when you're sitting at the counter, you're 11 inches from the dirty dish
the
pit.
Dish
you can't
pit.
See it because of the counter.
But I got squirted from the dish pit at Waffle House.
Maybe change that up.
But anyway, your memory's nice.
Yeah. But one year, I was 4 or 5, and we had been to the Waffle House. We went and looked at all the lights, which was just so much fun. Primarily, obviously, the Christmas vibe and enthusiasm in the air, but just being out at night for like non-functional, for recreation. For like, as a kid, like, oh, I'm never driving around at 9 p.m. unless there's something, you know. But, like, to just go out and casually drive around at night was, like, that was such a cool vibe because that's the only time that ever happened was once a year on Christmas Eve. So, anyway, one year, we're coming home, and my dad goes, guys, it's me and my brother in the back and my mom. And he goes, guys, look, there's Santa Claus and the reindeer. And he pointed to the sky, and now I know it was an airplane. With flashing red lights. But at like 4 or 5, I was, I guess, aware of airplanes.
Yeah.
But when he said, look up there, and then I looked up there. Usually you think he's joking, like you look up there and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
He said, look, oh God, I see him. And there's a thing with two red flashing lights. And I lost my shit. It was like seeing Bigfoot. It was like, finally, there he is. I knew it. I lost my shit.
Pull over the car.
I mean, I was like, oh my God. And just lost my shit. And then elation quickly turned into panic because I was like, oh shit, it's going in the direction of our house. He's going to beat us there. We got to, if we get home and we're not, if he gets there and we're not there, he's not going to leave any gifts.
It turns into a panic attack you didn't want to give your child. Wait, no, hold on. Oh, jeez. Oh, Dave, he's the sensitive one.
So just feeling like I was seeing something magical, that stuck with me my whole life. Like, oh, my God. For that, until you know, the next 2 or 3 years, I thought I had seen something mythical and magical.
Yeah, that's why urban legends work, ghost stories, all these things, you know, on little kids. And you want to believe. What's the fun in being cynical?
Exactly.
I still have that part of me, like even the kids, like, you know, it's just your mom and dad. Like, what are you getting out of that? Like, what are you getting out of ruining somebody else's nice thing?
Yeah. Cynicism sucks. Like, I get it how we're all kind of geared that way now, but like, you got to break through that.
Yeah.
You know, what a drip. Especially, I think I've almost tweeted this, especially in the comedy world. Oh, you're a comedian, but you're joyless. Oh, you're fun.
Yeah, well, that's the stereotype.
Cynical and so just like, come on, have some fun.
A lot of adult Darias out there.
Yeah, and ugh, who wants to sit through that?
I'm over it.
I'm over everything. Oh. I'm smarter than you. I'm more enlightened than you.
When somebody's got that I'm over everything. Yeah, the over everything attitude. I'm like, oh man, I know I don't ever need to hang out with you.
Mm-hmm.
What an unfun comedians.
Ugh.
Drags.
No thanks.
So, back to us, who we still believe in bogey monsters. Santa Claus, a very easily disproven myth.
Yeah.
I think Bigfoot, on the other hand. How about that transition? As a Christmas present to Dave, we're going to talk about his very favorite thing in the world.
I love Bigfoot.
You love him.
Always have.
You love that Bigfoot.
I got to get a third Bigfoot tattoo. I was thinking, I thought of one the other day.
Do you?
Yeah. I don't got to. But
what if I see him and I don't look like a true fan?
That's what it is. I run across him. I wanted him to know that I'm on his side.
Bigfoot, I got all your albums.
Oh my God! Yeah, Bigfoot started it all for me with it just opened up a whole world of like, well, what else? Once I decided I'm on board with that concept,
yeah,
then it was like, well, what else is out there that me and everybody else isn't aware of or thinks is
this
not real?
Bigfoot's one of the harder concepts for me to, outside of pure faith, point to something that.
And I'm not being offensive. I want to know that point of view.
Like pointing to something that's proof. Like, but that's why I go on the fact that we don't know. We don't know all the space out there. Mm-hmm. Forests are a big place. If these are some sort of almost a superhuman version of us that know how to hide and just straight up predator themselves into the woods without being detected, then why not? But there's nothing. Like, there's nothing.
Okay, so it's all based on the lack of evidence?
But it's not bad. I still I go faith belief, with it, but I don't have anything to point to say what.
And I will admit, there is, you know, for the most part, a lack of – not a complete lack of evidence. There's definitely some evidence. But other than that, as a concept, do you – is that one of those things?
As a concept, I love it.
But no, as a concept, do you think just something like that just couldn't be? Or is it, I don't believe it because I've yet to see a lot of good evidence? Like, kind of the way I used to feel with time travel. I used to think, like, oh, that just can't be.
No, I believe it, but it's only belief, not like, and let me point to these things, whereas, like, alien stuff, I got a stronger idea of it. Ghosts, I got my own concept of what happens to energy in the afterlife. But Bigfoot is just something that might be in them woods.
Uh-huh.
But that you are the knowledgeable one on this subject in particular.
Yeah.
Hit me with it.
Okay.
Give me the best. Sell me.
Okay.
Sell me on.
Well,
on,
and I will admit, like, it's not the most, in theory and in concept, it's not the most amazing one of these paranormal subjects. Mm-hmm. For example, like the concept of aliens or life on other Earth and other planets, you know, that's on paper much more interesting and intriguing and captivating than just, oh, there's a big hairy animal in the woods that we ain't quite identified yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know why this is kind of at the top of my list of just fascinating cryptozoology or paranormal, you know, topics.
You like being alone.
But
you like camping.
I think a lot of it, yeah. I think that's part of it. I like being outdoors.
Yeah.
I like the Earth. I like North America. I haven't traveled to other countries other than Canada, but I've literally
I like North America.
No, I do. I've been to 48 states and performed in 44, something like that.
Not a lot of continental patriotism out there.
I've spent a lot of time wandering all over the country, and it is a beautiful country, especially certain parts. Like, I mean, geez, the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah,
just amazing. The Smoky Mountains, the Rocky Mountains. Just some of these areas are just insane.
No, all over. It's the most diverse, one of the most diverse countries on Earth, climate-wise.
Yeah. And I guess also just the concept of, the arrogance of whether it be, you know, mainstream culture or, you know, mainstream science, the arrogance of just think we know all the answers. And nope. No, there's no.
Well, we go back to a lot. Yeah, we don't know all the science.
Yeah,
I mean, there's folklore revolving around it. Indigenous peoples had stories about them. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How far does it go back? Does it date to like pioneers, gold rush folks? Are there gold rush stories?
Oh yeah, I definitely think there's stories from that era. But even as far back, all right, wall art. Painted on caves, cave art, depicting giants, you know, and then there's many examples of like there's something to compare it to because there's drawings of like the people, and then there's this one that's three times the size of all these other little stick figures, you know, that's got hair and stuff all over. Those go back all the way to 500 AD, so I mean, in Native American areas, specifically in Northern California. There's cave art that they've
really
figured out that's from 500 AD. And
I'm looking it up.
Also, there's so many ancient cultures and indigenous cultures that have some sort of folklore or story. You know, obviously Sasquatch is what we call the North American version. You know, in northern India, you got the Mandai Barum. In Australia, you got the Yowie. In Russia, the Almasti. So all corners of the globe.
Giant hairy
dudes wandering around. And not just dudes, but there's obviously
creatures. Couldn't be any type of primate.
Of course it could be. For example, Gigantopithecus was a giant, like 10-foot, basically a 10-foot gorilla, but not quite a gorilla.
Big-ass Pithecus.
Big-ass bipedal primate that they believe lived as far as 9 million years ago, all the way till as recent as 200 or 300,000 years ago.
Okay.
So, and that's a scientific fact. In most of the, I think it was originated like in southwest China is where a lot of the fossils and where they believe, it inhabited that area of Asia. Gigantopithecus was an upright, walking on two legs, 10-foot, probably 800-pound primate.
Jeez.
Think about that.
10 feet tall.
Yeah, think about that.
Something on two legs, 10 feet tall.
Yeah, that's insane. So that's a fact that Gigantopithecus existed. So, and a lot of people think that if Bigfoot or Sasquatch does exist, that it could possibly be a Gigantopithecus or some sort of descendant of Gigantopithecus. And we don't have time to go into all the details, but a lot of the sightings are kind of upright apes, the best description. But then there are several sightings where they say it's more man than beast. A lot of people say, oh, it's kind of half gorilla, half man, but there's a lot where they're like, no, it kind of looked like a Neanderthal.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like more human than ape. So.
And but that's the thing, like, all the deer cameras out there, guys with guns. What are your, how would you explain that away?
That's, okay.
Just a wily.
I can't.
It's a wily creature.
Yeah. You would think the best way we're going to get some good photographs would be a trail cam.
Yeah.
These motion sensor trail cams. And there's been a few, like, real ambiguous photographs of, like, is that?
Yeah.
You know, but, like, I'm talking, I can't wait for that full-on headshot of, boom, 3 feet from the camera, staring right at it. Holy shit, what's that? You know, we've yet to have that. So you would think.
And that's what I thought. Like,
yeah, no, I can't defend.
Hard to.
I can't defend that. Other than intelligence. Some experts think that Sasquatch is just, and this is maybe part of the appeal and the lure. Just they think that they're just incredibly intelligent in the ways of the woods and wilderness and hunting and, you know, detection. So.
I was one, like, all right, is intelligence combined with, you know, agriculture and cooking food, like, how smart is a Bigfoot to be like, oh, it's an electronic device that takes my photo, so I'll avoid it. Also, I'm going to eat these bugs I found in a dead tree trunk. like.
That's a good point.
You know, when they talk about smart animals and they just still all lick their own buttholes, I'm like, not. Nah. We're still on top, baby.
Yeah, I wouldn't accuse the Sasquatch of being dumb because he eats bugs he found in a tree. You know, that could be considered incredibly smart. You know, being
Do you eat bugs you found in a tree, Dave? I mean, I'm not.
I'm saying he doesn't have access to McDonald's and Vaughn's
fire
and cutlery and
why not? We're not smart. We got all that stuff.
It's true. Okay, the thing about the I don't think that I'm not saying they're so. Who knows? I'm speculating, obviously, but I think they're intelligent. I'm not saying they're like, oh, that's a camera. It takes my picture when I move. Maybe they can detect anything that's unnatural. that's, you know, not supposed to be in the forest. Any computer, any camera, any machine, maybe they can detect that and know whatever the hell that thing is, I know it ain't supposed to be here, so I'm going to avoid that.
Maybe they have heat sensing technology. And that's why when they go looking for them with the heat sensing technology, like, that's a thing, looking for the thing that we got. No way. They predator themselves in the mud. They're predators. I think they're just predators.
Over 250 sightings in North America every year, or reports.
Concentrated in the Pacific Northwest?
Most of them. Concentrated, but definitely scattered all throughout.
Yeah.
And obviously Pacific Northwest and Western Canada and Alaska is going to be your hot spots.
Yeah.
But 250 a year. Okay, and I've said this before on this podcast with anything that we're trying to either prove or disprove or whatever. Are they all wrong?
Yes.
10,000 in the last 200 years. In the last 200 years, 10,000 reports. So all 10,000 people are misidentifying it as another creature or are crazy or are lying.
I think power suggestion has a lot to play in here, though.
Uh-huh.
You're driving through Northern California. Come to the Bigfoot Cafe and stop by the Bigfoot gift shop. Bigfoot, Bigfoot, Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a chicken or an egg thing there.
And then you're just sitting out in the woods. Same thing with your dad going, look, there's Santa Claus. You wanted to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You wanted to see it. Are these reports coming from skeptics? Are they coming from people out there looking for Bigfoot that just... And I'm guilty of the same thing when it's getting scared, when it's ghosts, when it's alien, you know. When you want it bad enough, I think you can manifest seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying they're all wrong.
Uh-huh.
But
I agree with you on a certain percentage of those reports. I definitely think that could be the case. A lot of eyewitnesses.
And who do you report it to?
A lot of eyewitnesses are people who will admit, I didn't believe in Bigfoot until I had this experience. So there are a lot of people seeing things that were previously skeptics.
Who do you report a Bigfoot sighting to? Do you call the cops?
Well, you're probably going to see it.
Is it one forest ranger with patience? Like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, forest rangers deal with a lot of that in rural jurisdictions.
Has there been forest rangers that have seen them?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Because I would respect them as a level of authority, someone mm-hmm. that knows the terrain. I always wanted to be a park ranger. Not always, just the last few years. You got to be like a cop first to be a park ranger.
This is on your first album. That's a good joke.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Park rangerisms.
Yeah.
Hey, Kyle, you like going hiking once every 6 months?
I stand by it.
Do you want to grab your computer and look at some of these videos I'm about to recommend?
All right. You talk about them.
Okay.
And then your job is to convince me.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of – there's a lot of videos and a lot of evidence, but very little of it is real good. All right. Probably the best one, the best video, and fans of Bigfoot will know this, but, you know, if this topic is completely foreign and new to you, you may have never seen this video, but you definitely need to Google it right now. Patterson-Gimlin film.
Ooh, I love a nice Patterson-Gimlin.
Patterson-Gimlin.
Am I looking at that's the classic. That's your classic Bigfoot.
Yeah, and I believe his name was James Patterson and Bob Gimlin. Two dudes that were and I'm not going to go – I mean, that could be a whole episode right there. That's a very complex story.
But that they were making fake, right?
No, I don't think it's fake. I don't think it's fake at all.
Didn't they admit – no, that was the Loch Ness Monster guy admitted to.
Oh, really?
Now,
a dude did come forward and say, hey, I'm buddies with Patterson and Gimlin, and I was the guy in the suit. And but I believe both Patterson and Gimlin, one of them's dead. I think I should have done my research. One of them has passed away of cancer, I believe. I think one is still alive. But to the best of my knowledge, neither one of them have ever admitted that it is a hoax.
I remember somebody breaking it down and saying like it didn't move like a human, right?
Exactly.
Like it couldn't be a person in a suit because of where the joints were.
Yeah.
But everybody's got that weird shaped friend.
And I think I said James Patterson. It's Roger Patterson, Bob Gimlin, 1967, Bluff Creek, California. They're making a documentary about Bigfoot. I know that seems suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
And but they got this. You're looking at it now. They got this grainy footage. I think it's like 900 and something frames. So probably just, I don't know, 20, 30 seconds worth of footage here.
Yeah.
And, yeah, a lot of experts have analyzed this footage. Bill Nunn, I think is his name. If you Google or YouTube Patterson-Gimlin, Bill Nunn, he's a dude who used to make costumes for Hollywood, and now he's kind of an expert on analyzing film and stuff. And he really went over with a fine-tooth comb and pointed out a few things that why they think that this is not a man in a suit or a woman in a suit. All right, and a few of the bullet points – first of all, it has breasts. Not that that's any definitive evidence.
It's a woman in a suit.
But if it's a costume, why would you go to the trouble of, you know, adding prosthetic breasts to this suit? I mean, maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. That's not.
Well,
a couple of the main things is the gait, the way it walks. Some scientists and experts have done some analysis on that. And like you said, it just does, they feel like it doesn't move like a human. For example, the angles, like the way the heel is hitting the ground and the way the ankle is bent, certain angles that aren't normal to the human gait. Another piece of evidence or point that they make is that the proportions are out of whack. Not just that this is a giant person in a suit, but the actual proportions. For example, the distance between your kneecap and your ankle is blank percentage of your total body height. I don't know what percentage that is, but no matter how tall you are, everybody has the same percentage from your kneecap to your ankle. Same thing from your kneecap to your hip bone. It's a certain percentage of your overall height. And those percentages are out of whack on this – on Patty is what they call her for Patterson-Gimlin.
I mean, I'm trying to think of what – I'm looking at it now. I don't.
Another really interesting point that has been made is her right quadricep, her right thigh muscle. If they really put that under a fine-tooth comb and zoom it in and look at it, they feel like they have detected a hernia, a bulging muscle that's going up and down as she's walking. And it looks like some sort of the same symptoms, at least visible symptoms, of a herniated muscle in the quadricep. And now, if you're building a suit, why would you try to recreate that?
Maybe
or
it's
even
just
know to
not a good
that?
Suit.
I mean,
maybe because we're just looking at a guy in a suit they made in 1967.
They haven't been able to – they've tried. They haven't been able to make a Bigfoot suit since then that would be that convincing. If in fact, that is a suit, no one's been able to make a suit that convincing in 40 years, 50 years now.
CGI.
They didn't – not in 1967.
Real early CGI.
So that one – that's the granddaddy of them all, the Patterson-Gimlin. And it's, you know, if in fact that is real, which I believe, and would I bet my life on it? No. But I want to believe, and I would say
that
I believe.
We all want to believe.
If in fact that is real, what an incredible piece of footage. I mean, if that's a real Bigfoot, holy shit. When you just watch it over and over and over again, there it is. If that's real, look at that. There it is. It's crystal clear.
But never since – I'm looking at some that says six most believable Bigfoot sightings.
Mm-hmm. And I've got a couple of others of my favorites, but they'll probably be on this list here if you want to read it out.
Yeah, what are your other favorites?
All right, I'll just narrow it down. Freeman Bigfoot. This dude named Freeman, I think it was in 91. This dude caught a pretty good video, and he's even narrating it. And it's really – it's funny and kind of endearing because it's just this guy. I think I have something Freeman.
Wait
Paul
a
Freeman?
Minute.
I want to say Paul
I
Freeman.
I did when I went. I shot a travel show. I got Paul Freeman, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like narrates, like, oh, there he is. You can hear him. It's like, I saw him over there. And
okay, wait. Okay.
Real excited about it.
Oh, there he goes, or something like that. It's really funny to hear his narration. But, like, that's a pretty convincing Bigfoot. And that's also the one where they think that Bigfoot is carrying a child on its shoulder or on its back.
1994, the Blue Mountains of Washington.
Okay.
Checks out. Oh, God, man. Just conspiracy videos online are just insufferable. They really fluff up the.
Yeah. All right, there's another one I want you to look up right now. This one is newer. I think this one popped out 2 or 3 years ago. YouTube or Google Russian Al Masty or Russian Bigfoot.
Russian Al Nasty.
Al Masty.
What a handle. Good DJ name.
A-L-M-A-S-T-Y.
I'm Russian Al Nasty.
And this one is pretty good. It's not.
Look at, but see, all right, this is the problem with internet videos. After it shows the clip of the Paul Freeman one, why is this a real Sasquatch? It conforms completely to the known morphology of Sasquatch. That's the problem. Why is it a real Sasquatch? Because it looks like everything we've made up about Sasquatch. Like, I wanna believe, and this is what stands in the way, is everyone else also wanting to believe.
Yeah.
Like, man.
No, I get it.
Fans ruining the band. Who, all right, which one am I looking up?
Russian Al Masty. A-L-M-A-S-T-Y. And there might be a few.
A-L. What is it? A-L.
M-A-S-T-Y.
M-A-S-T-Y. This one up here? All right, I'm watching this. Copyright.
This is, I think, in Russia or the Ukraine, somewhere over there. Do you want to narrate it?
I'm looking at it now. I got this Pokemon ad out of the way. All right. In the woods, you know, looks like that's it. Okay, well, I'm just going. Starts up. Oh, is that what they're looking at?
Doesn't have as much screen time as Patty or the Freeman one. But
oh, ooh!
Look at that.
That looked creepy as fuck.
Yep. When he jumped, when he leapt over that log, and his arms flew up.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, that looks.
And look how big he is, and the proportions. How big, long his arms are, or her. I like how I've got to be gender correct even when referring to Sasquatch.
Bigfoot, you know, well, because you know you won't go it. That was all right. That was. Is that it? Just that little bit? Does it come back out?
Yeah, it does come back on the left part of the screen, too.
Oh, here it is zoomed in now, they're telling me.
So anyway, that's a good one.
That does. I got to watch this again. I got to watch it zoomed in.
Mm-hmm.
It's moving fast. It's hard to tell.
It looks like a giant orangutan, kind of.
It does. It has like the V from the torso just up to giant shoulder muscles.
But it looks huge. Like it looks like 9 or 10 feet tall. I mean, it's hard to, but just the trees around it, it's gigantic.
Okay. All right. That was a good one.
One last one, and I know this isn't great podcasting when we're doing a visual thing here when everybody else is listening. Pennsylvania white Bigfoot. Now, this is one, obviously, in Pennsylvania, but they believe that some Sasquatch are albinos. And
well, this thing already looks creepy.
Now, this is a headshot. This is a quick money shot right here.
God, these idiots.
If you've never seen this.
This Sasquatch Central.
If you've never seen this one will startle you when it's
really?
Revealed. When the money shot happens, you're going to be like, holy shit.
Oh, man, should I have the sound right. on?
I'm
why are these guys, so they're just in the woods with one single flashlight? Okay. I'm already not into it.
All right, well, just watch this.
It's going to jump out at me. Yeah, fuck that fucking thing. Ugh.
What's going on there? What was that? Yeah, that's a fun one to watch if you've never seen it before, because that one comes out at you. Now, obviously, your first instinct would be like, there's no way. That's too good of a point of view. That's too good of a video.
Yeah,
I mean it's a full on facial headshot from 10 feet away.
Also, no, I'm not letting this one happen.
Okay.
Their one little beam flashlight lands right on its face and follows it through the woods.
I understand. And I'm not going to try to convince you. I will say some studies have been done on this film.
It's got no light reflection in the eyes like a living animal.
Some studies have been done on this film. They've really slowed it down, zoomed it in.
Yeah.
And they think some of the info that I've read and heard, they feel like it's not a guy in a mask. Obviously, it looks like a guy in a mask, kind of. But in the sense that if you really slow it down, the way its mouth is moving, the way its nostrils flare, they think that would be very difficult to achieve in a mask.
I see. They're doing all right. Doing a slow-mo. White Bigfoot is what you're looking up. Pennsylvania White Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you even see it that its nose flared?
They really slow it down and zoom it in, and you can just see some twitches in the face that they feel would not show up in a mask.
Yeah. I don't know. This one is a little too convenient.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely convenient. But the problem is people always say, well, there's not enough evidence. And then you get some evidence like this, and people are like, that's too good evidence. It's not real.
It's fucking give me some credit. Like, give me the blurry stuff. Like this, okay, I have one little beam flashlight, and I'm videotaping. What's the history of this tape? Were they out there looking for a thing?
For several nights they had heard some crazy howls and shit going on back there. And then apparently they were out on their deck, and then they heard it again, and they were like, shit, quick, let's go see what it is. So they didn't just stumble upon it. Like they had suspected that something was going on out in those woods. I will admit it's incredibly convenient.
It's spooky. It's a spooky one.
Yeah.
It's going to give me nightmares, I'll tell you that. If I saw that.
Well, and another, I think also people don't realize, people, and I don't say this condescending or self-righteous, but people who haven't traveled this country a lot.
Yeah.
I think the average person doesn't realize how much uninhabited landmass is in North America.
That's true. All right. Yeah, that's true. That they're just unexplored.
Yeah. I mean, you just think in 2016, and it's America and technology, we know every square inch of this continent. No, we don't.
No, look.
There are places in this country, not just in this continent, but in this country, that humans rarely go to, especially when you're talking way up in these mountains.
Yeah, places you can't get to.
You can't get to. I mean, you camp more than I do and hike more than I do. I mean, you've gone out on where you've parked the Jeep and then had to walk five miles before you set up camp because there is no other roads.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely places to hide out there if you're savvy as the Bigfoot can be. That's the stuff where I do agree with it. Yeah, I'm not going to say I know everything that's out there. There are plenty of hiding spots for a creature that doesn't want to be found. That's going to lend itself to why is it always a hunter or somebody that sees them? Because those are the only ones else going out there.
Mm-hmm.
Or indigenous people that are going into new places looking for food and all that kind of stuff. So that's why they would have those sightings. I just, when this white Bigfoot stuff, like, this looks too convenient for me.
Yeah, I get that it's convenient, but it's definitely interesting.
That was scary. Speaking of that, dinner bell.
The Yeti is in parts of Asia and the Himalayas.
Himalayas, yeah.
I know they're in Asia, but do they also go into to Europe at all? I don't know.
No, they would go. That's like China and Tibet, I believe.
And Nepal.
Yeah, okay. All those spots down there.
Apparently, there are communities, villages, all along the Himalayas, where the village folk and the townspeople are just like, oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody knows Yeti's real. I mean, yeah, they've done interviews with, you know, people in maybe that it's just folklore that they've chosen to believe.
Yeah.
But, like, there are certain areas in Asia, Nepal and Tibet, where some of the local communities are like, oh, yeah, of course. I mean, they're not saying it in English, but.
But just factual that these are creatures out in the.
Yeah. So I always trust, you know, same thing with the Native Americans.
Snowman.
You know, a lot of Native Americans are like, yeah, everybody knows that, right?
Yeah.
And I used to have a bit about that. Like, what's their incentive? What's the sweet little goat farmer in the foot of the Himalayas? What's his incentive to bullshit somebody?
Well, it's the same thing, but it's also just accepting it the way somebody would just be like, well, yeah, sky is blue, water's wet, and Jesus is Lord. Like, everybody knows Jesus, if you apologize, they'll forgive you. Like, the way people say things factually.
Good point.
Because they've just been raised with the stories. And although they would just admit that there's an abominable snowman out there, like, that's not something that's going to affect your soul.
Yeah.
You know?
This all kind of started in the modern era as far as being in our consciousness.
Yeah.
1951. This guy named Eric Shipton, he was an extreme mountain climber. He was up 20,000 feet in the Himalayas. 20,000 feet all right, he's high.
Getting some.
That is high. He found some prints in 1951, and he did make a cast of it. There's a plaster cast. And there's a whole trail of these giant footprints, 20,000 feet up into the Himalayan mountains.
Mm-hmm.
What hoaxer in 1951 says, hey, I'm going to go up 20,000 feet with these fake footprints and just march around a little bit in hopes that somebody else will come along in the next day because the snow's going to cover up those prints pretty quick, probably within an hour. I'm gonna prank somebody.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go 20,000 feet into the Himalayas with my fake footprints. Just cause.
It's just briefly mentioned in the Wikipedia article. It's like, while exploring the Barren Gorge, he named Island Peak in the 1951 Everest Expedition. Shipton and Dr. Michael Ward also took photographs of the footprints, what may have been the Yeti, an ice axe being included in the photographs to show scale. Because of his belief in the because they have small expeditions, like it had nothing, like they just make one mention that, oh, we also may have discovered the Yeti. Look at these. I'm looking at the things now. You see these pictures? Of course you saw them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, look at those. Some interesting prints.
It looks like it has, like, yeah.
I mean, bottom line is you can't convince, and I'm not trying to. I'm not here to convince people because I know it's. Yeah. I know. I get it. I don't know what the percentage is. I don't know what the latest polls are, but I'm assuming in America, a great percentage of people don't believe in this. And I'm one of the minorities that fall into the other side of the fence.
But we also live in a country that just built a fucking ark.
True. What, the one in Kentucky?
Yeah. And I think the taxpayers pay for it.
I believe so. Oh, so, former comic of the week, James Fritz, has a good
joke. He was doing
that
joke, and that's why, like, I didn't think, I remember they were going to build that, and then I saw a commercial on TV for it.
Uh-huh.
Come to the Ark. So if you want to believe in Bigfoot, go for it. Because you aren't telling people who don't believe in Bigfoot that they're going to rot in a fictional hell.
Yeah.
For lack of believing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm still on board with it. If I'm out camping and I hear sounds, I'm always like, could be. Would like it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But the evidence that I, like, nothing's really making me, nothing's giving me the heebie-jeebies about it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's jeebing my heebs.
I don't have the exact notes in front of me, but there's a great recording, and I don't know if you want to take a shot in the dark. Sierra Nevada Bigfoot howl. Somebody got some good, and it's more than a howl. It's like it sounds like two of them trying to communicate. There's some audio recordings that surfaced from, I think, back in the 70s. This guy was camping in the Sierra Nevadas, I think somewhere in Northern California or somewhere along.
Yeah.
that mountain range, and it's just incredible audio of like just non-human, otherworldly, guttural grunt. Where like, what the hell could that possibly be that's making that noise?
I'm gonna go for it here. Damn it! Video does not exist.
So, here's a common question people ask. Well, some people think, and I guess I get this, if you think it's a mythical creature, that they think that there's one. Where does Bigfoot live? Like, it's one. And I don't know how they actually determine this. It's obviously speculation. But to kind of just give you what some people think, they think there might be as many as 3,500 right. Sasquatch in North America. So, and that also lends to the why don't we see more of them? Well, there's just not a lot of them. What if there was 3,500 people? Is not a lot of people.
I like the fact about you never find them dead, but you never find bears dead either.
Exactly.
If we found out why we don't find bear remains.
And of course, with anything we say on this show, it could be. Somebody could find some facts that contradict what we're saying.
Somebody could find some facts out there. Prove us wrong.
I have read more than once that science has never found the remains of a naturally deceased bear. Not, you know, obviously we find bear bones and stuff, stuff that's been shot, stuff that's been killed by other bears. But just a bear that died of old age, I do believe we have never found those remains. So, and if that is indeed a fact, then the same logic could be applied to Sasquatch. Why is that? Is it, do they, like many dying animals that know they're sick and about to die, do they go to the furthest corner that they can find, you know, seclusion before they die?
Yeah.
Burrow up into a cave, you know, whatever. Or is it leaf litter? Is it the forest kind of covering up? You know, I mean,
that's true.
Leaf litter and soil and forest and the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years of leaves that have fallen on the forest floor. Landscaping crews not coming through there with a just Husqvarna backpack blower. I mean, that's
decomposes.
Yeah, it just decomposes and regenerates.
How long does it take for bones to decompose? I don't know if I want to look that up on my computer.
So. You know, that's one theory of why we haven't found many remain or any remains.
I think it's also numbers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of bears.
Think about 3,500 people. I have a point of reference of that, not to humble brag, but opening like theater shows.
Yeah,
I've done some shows opening for Craig Ferguson, and he plays theaters. You know, there's a level, you know, once you can, you're kind of there too, buddy. The comics that kind of outgrow comedy clubs start playing theaters. That can seat between 1,000 and 5,000 people. So I've seen what 3,500 people look like. And in one building, of course, it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Take those people and scatter them across North America.
Yeah.
With no other people.
No,
you would never see one of those people.
That makes total sense. But then the fact that they keep their numbers small, maybe that's a strategic... Is it strategic? That would lend itself to intelligence. Let's not overpopulate and get found.
300 million something people live in America. Imagine
somebody should have better footage of a Bigfoot. You're right.
No, my point is, imagine if that population dwindled immediately to 3,500. How few human beings you would see?
Oh, I'd be all right with that.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
If it was 3,500 I got to pick, I'd be like, man, this is great.
That's some New World Order shit.
This works out. Yeah, it goes back to the beginning of it.
Well, anyway, all right, so I feel like...
We'll come back to Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm. But look at the...
We're going to take a trip. We're going to get on the road with this.
And if you're listening to this, you know, when you're done or if you haven't already, YouTube some of the shit we just talked about.
Pennsylvania White Bigfoot was... I didn't have a sound on, but that... I don't want to spoil. It was good.
Yeah.
Dave, do you have some Christmas recipes you want to share to the show?
I feel like I haven't been doing a lot of recipes lately. You know, it kind of comes and goes. But I figured Christmas, much like Thanksgiving, one of the times to shine in the kitchen. So
I
got a few good ones here. Some kind of obvious, some maybe you never thought of. I don't know. I'll do three. How about that? All right. A great little appetizer, little snack, a little hors d'oeuvre that just I grew up with in the South, and I think it's pretty much a Southern thing because friends from other parts of the country act like they've never heard what the hell I'm talking about.
Okay.
Boiled peanuts. You got a Christmas party. You got the New Year's party. Put out a big old pot of boiled peanuts.
I've heard of them. They are good.
You've had my boiled peanuts, I think.
I have.
I've cooked those several times at gatherings. Boiled peanuts, yeah. In the South, it's just, they call it redneck caviar. But a lot of people just have no idea what it is. And no, you don't eat the shell. I've had friends bite into the, You wouldn't do that if it was a regular peanut. Why are you biting into the shell?
Some people eat shrimp just like that.
Yeah, I guess. Here's how you make some boiled peanuts, all right? Go out and get you a couple pounds of raw peanuts in the shell. You want to get, and you can get those, it's one of those things that you kind of overlook, but not even a roasted one like you'd buy a bag of peanuts at the ball game. You want raw in the shell, some that have never been roasted, never deshelled, anything. Get you a couple pounds of those, all right? Soak them in water. Hmm. Rinse them off real good. Get a colander, same way, something you spaghetti strainer. Soak them off, rinse them off real good, and then let them soak for 10 or 15 minutes in some cold water. All right? That's going to help get the rest of that off there. Then throw them in a big old pot. Add 2 or 3 gallons of water. And then just add maybe 3 ounces of kosher salt. So 2 pounds of peanuts, 3 gallons of water, and then 3 ounces of kosher salt. Turn that sucker up on high and just boil the shit out of them for about 4 or 5 hours.
Just let them run.
Just let them run. Now, what that's going to do, 4 or 5 hours of that, a lot of that water is going to evaporate. So you need to, and it's very important that the peanuts stay completely submerged in water. So if you just turn it on high and walk away for 3 hours, you're going to come back, and that 3 gallons of water is now 1.5 gallons
of
water.
That's not safe to do, just walking away from a dish for 3 hours.
So anyway, my point is get you a big old pitcher of water or a bowl of water or something, and be prepared every 20, 30 minutes, check on them, and add water to it because that's going to evaporate. Now, what you can also do if you want to really have some fun.
I was going to say, can you just add whatever to this water?
You sure can. I add beer. I'll throw in, over the course of the 4 or 5 hours, once an hour, I'll crack open a PBR and dump it in there. All right? You can do beer. Get you a big old onion. And you don't even have to peel the onion because you're not going to eat the onion. But quarter that onion. Just chop it up real rough. Half it, quarter it, eighth it, whatever you want to do. Don't even worry about getting rid of the peel. Throw that onion in there. Let that onion just soak in that hot tub for 4 or 5 hours. Throw you in some whole cloves of garlic. If you like them spicy, throw you in some red pepper flakes.
Shit, this is where I'm like, this is where I'm into it.
Shit, you sprinkle on pizza. You know, red pepper flakes. You can even throw in some dashes of Worcestershire or hot sauce. Like many of the stuff, recipes that I talk about here, a lot of it's just have some fun. Express yourself. Whatever you want to squirt in there. So, but yeah. And then 4 or 5 hours. Now, what we're looking for now, and again, you don't eat the shell, but you crack them open after 4 or 5 hours. Pick you one out, run it under some cold water so it doesn't burn your hands. And you're looking for like a cooked bean consistency.
Yeah, they're kind of mushy.
Like it should be like a pinto bean or a red bean.
Mm-hmm.
Just a good, a whole intact whole, not a mushy, falling apart, skin falling off that you've overcooked them at that point. And they also shouldn't have a bite or a snap to them. They're undercooked at that point. But just like eating a bean. And that's what you're looking for. And let them soak for about 30 minutes. I'm thinking that's my next recipe.
It's like, wait.
Yeah. But yeah, so then you're good to go. 4 or 5 hours, water, beer, onions, garlic, red pepper flakes, salt, pepper, whatever you want to do. And man, they're just so good. Then you got this giant bowl of boiled peanuts, and it's just it's a fun recreational thing too. Because
how do you keep those now? You got just wet peanuts.
You can just put them in Tupperware and put them in the fridge. They'll keep for about a week.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can heat them back up. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll eat them leftover cold. But
they're good. They're good warm though.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah. Throw them back in a boiling pot of water for 5 minutes. Heat them up.
Boiled peanuts.
So boiled peanuts. That's a fun little party food. All right. So I'll do a couple more quick ones. I'll try to speed it up. Deviled eggs.
Man, I love a deviled egg.
Love deviled eggs. This is a great thing to bring to a party. Again, kind of in the hors d'oeuvre, appetizer, snack family. Deviled eggs. Man.
Who doesn't love them?
I love deviled eggs.
What kind of jerk doesn't like deviled eggs?
All right, here's how you do your deviled eggs. All right, this is a good time. All right. Boil you up some eggs. Boil you up some potatoes.
In Montego Bay?
But you know how to boil eggs, Kyle? A hard-boiled egg.
I can hard-boil an egg. Mm-hmm. I can do that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
For this, I still have to kind of look it up every
it's
time.
It's so simple. All right, place your raw eggs in a pot before you...
Let me see if I get this part right. Mm-hmm. Fill it up so there's water covering them over 1 inch.
About 1.5 to 2 inches above. And you just want them in one layer, so...
Don't stack them.
Don't stack them.
Sitting on the bottom of the pot.
Exactly. Everything should be on the bottom.
What are you going
to add? Add water to about 1.5 or 2 inches above.
Bring it to a boil.
Bring it to a boil.
Once it's boiling, turn the heat off. Remove it from the heat.
Turn it on low.
Low.
For 1 minute.
For 1 minute. Ooh, okay. That's not what I do.
After that minute, take it off the heat and let it sit for about 14, 15 minutes.
That's the part.
And then they're ready to go. Now, I hate peeling boiled eggs. I've worked in restaurants where I remember I worked in one restaurant where one day I peeled hard-boiled eggs for 8 hours. And that's all I did. And it was just – it's such a tedious – and just, it's tedious.
What did somebody do with 8 hours worth of hard-boiled eggs?
We were doing a huge catering event.
Oh, okay.
And it was for deviled eggs.
All right.
Deviled eggs.
And a little bit of vinegar, right?
Egg salad, too.
Or no, vinegar doesn't make – vinegar keeps them from cracking.
Oh, no, yeah. You can – well, there's a couple tricks with vinegar. I've never had success with that one. The one little trick that I've recently discovered that makes it peel a little easier.
Not that one where you pick one end off and try and blow on the other end. I almost shit my eyes out of my head trying that.
All right. When they're done boiling, drain off the hot water and just run cold water under them. Just whatever pot they're in.
Yeah, stop them from cooking.
Yeah. And just let that cold water run over them for a few minutes until the egg actually cools down. And then you kind of crack them a little bit. And you can even roll them on a table.
Yeah, I do
you
that.
You can roll them in your hands.
I know that move.
But once they go from hot water to cold water for a few minutes, I'd let it sit for about 10 minutes. They're going to peel a lot easier. You're going to get bigger chunks peeled off. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, those little microscopic little peels, and you have to literally make 150 peels to get one egg off. These are going to have bigger pieces that
okay.
be easier to peel. So that's how you peel them. All right. Cut them in half. All right. A nice even half.
I think everybody knows this part of hard-boiled eggs.
They should know that. Scoop out with a spoon the yolk.
Get the yolk.
All right. Throw that in a bowl. And then from that point, you just want to add a little bit of white wine vinegar. A little bit of white vinegar. I always use red wine vinegar. White vinegar, mayo, maybe a squirt of yellow mustard, maybe a squirt of spicy mustard, some salt, some pepper.
This is the same pep. This is the same with the peanuts. This is where you get to really
mix that shit up.
Really
you can,
shine.
You can just do it with a fork. You don't even need an electric blender. If you got a whisk, that'll work. A whisk actually works good because you can use it as a
put
masher.
A little elbow grease.
You
in
mash
there.
It, and then you spoon that shit back in there. Oh, boy.
What do you do? Do you do a green olive? Do you do a little piece of ham?
You can do anything like that. Yeah, you can garnish it with some like thinly sliced ham. You can put sriracha. We were talking about sriracha last time and how it's overused, but it does work good.
Sriracha on a hard-boiled egg, best on-the-go breakfast treat.
Yeah. And also, even right now I just referenced it as far as a garnish, but in this mixture of mayo, white vinegar, mustard, spices, you can add hot sauce, you can add barbecue sauce, you can chop up some raw onion, you can dice up some really fine celery for texture. There's a lot you could do with that mixture. And just, you know, just...
Maybe a thin jalapeno slice.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah.
Just put it out there for you.
So have some fun with that. And if you want to get really fancy, you can get a piping bag. Piping bags like something.
Oh,
you would,
it comes out with the cake stuff, so it looks all fancy.
You can squirt that. Fill up a piping bag with this mixture and then use that as a tool to kind of put a real nice presentation back into the egg half.
Oh, I love a deviled egg.
One last one. Similar as far as technique to the deviled egg. Everybody likes mashed potatoes, and I will give that recipe out at a later time. Homemade mashed potatoes is the easiest thing in the world, by the way. Don't ever buy instant mashed potatoes. Homemade mashed potatoes, easiest thing in the world. We'll talk about that at a later date. To me, and I love mashed potatoes, but a nice alternative is mashed sweet potatoes. I love a baked sweet potato. A lot of people aren't familiar with that as far as a viable side option, a baked sweet potato.
Baked sweet potato? No, really?
Oh, man. Putting
butter in there?
A lot of people do. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Butter on a sweet potato? Oh. I had sweet potato casserole for – we did Christmas early because I was home before out, and with the just the candy sauce on it. Ooh, that was good.
My problem with some of those sweet potato casseroles, that marshmallow bullshit just gets in the way.
We didn't do any marshmallows.
Get those marshmallows out of here.
Kept it to the candy dressing and the sliced yams.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to mash some sweet potatoes. Boil you up. Boil you up. A bunch of potatoes. 30 minutes in a boiling pot. Be about what you need as far as the doneness.
Where's the Dave to it, though? Give me the Dave hit.
I'm about to. All right. Here's the Dave hit.
I'm impatient now. They'll find them.
Mash those potatoes up. All right. You want to
boil them and mash them.
Boil them and mash them. Add some milk, a little bit of milk, a little bit of butter, and then a little maple syrup.
All right. So this is what we need to get to.
A little maple syrup, maybe a little brown sugar.
I see that going with it.
Maybe a little cinnamon. Maybe some roasted pecans smashed up.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I get that. That makes a lot of sense.
So just like the deviled egg mixture, throw all that shit in a bowl and just mash the hell out of it. And bada bing, bada boom, you got a big old bowl of mashed sweet potatoes.
What about putting a little bit of honey in there? Too much?
I would do honey and syrup.
No. Yeah. As opposed to it,
yeah. Yeah. But I like a little maple syrup, a lot of butter, a little cinnamon.
Syrup, yeah.
Oh, boy. And, you know, you're not necessarily – one complaint with sweet potatoes, I don't want it to taste like dessert. All right. Well, if you don't want it too sweet, hold off on, you know, some of the sweet components. But
How about starting with the potato? It's a sweet potato.
Yeah, but some people feel like, oh, it tastes like dessert. And I get that, but
who cares? Eat your damn regular-ass mashed potatoes.
But something about the way the mashed sweet potato and the butter, and then a little bit of cinnamon, a little brown sugar, a little maple syrup, just those, they mix well.
I agree with this.
Just good. Just
good
stuff.
I don't know what my mom did, but it was just sliced sweet potatoes, but it was in like a sweet gravy like that.
Yeah.
And it, ooh.
So, yeah, smashed sweet potatoes, deviled eggs, boiled peanuts. Have some fun this holiday season.
Get it. Have some treats.
Yeah. And by the way, let me go ahead and say this. When I give the recipe out on the air, this is me giving you the recipe. I get so many people emailing me saying, hey, can I get that chili recipe or whatever? And I'm like, I already gave it out. And that's a bad example because I didn't technically give a chili recipe.
Well, maybe because you don't ever say measurements.
Well,
A little bit.
Well, that's how I cook. When some of these,
and
don't
that's how you make it your own out there.
Baking,
your idea of a little bit.
Baking is you got to those biscuits. You got to follow it specifically. That's why I typed out. Did you see what I've been sending out to people?
I've been copying and sending it.
It's
out.
About
I've
a 500 word.
I didn't even have to write it out. I'm like, oh, I got to copy and paste this goddamn thing.
My point is, yes, I will still give you that biscuit recipe if you want to email me. And I don't mean to even sound, you know, put out by it because really I just copy and paste and respond. And sometimes I try to put a personal message in there if they've asked specific questions.
Why not?
But you got to
– I don't.
If you've gotten a straight-up copy and paste one, just understand that we've probably sent out about 600 of those so far at this point. but my point is you can email me asking me for the recipe for the mashed sweet potatoes. I'm going to tell you to listen to this episode. I've gotten a lot of people, give me that ranch dressing. Well, I don't have it. I'm not going to – I don't have it written out.
Go listen. Yeah.
I tune in. I gave it to you.
You found out about it when you tuned in.
I feel like these are fairly thorough explanations here. So
I think so. I think, and it's about making it your own.
You see what I just did?
You try and drink out of your bottle with the cap on it? Oh, boy. Well, recipes, Bigfoot, Santa myths.
Yeah. Yeah, girl.
We did it.
We did it.
Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, buddy. I hope you have a good one. Seriously.
I hope you do as well.
Yeah.
You'll be back in Atlanta, right?
I'm going to go see the folks in South Georgia. Yeah, they moved.
See, that's nice.
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere. But I'm looking forward to it. Kind of decompress.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun going to visit them because it's literally the middle of nowhere. So you just, it's kind of like a little camping type. No, I don't camp, but like just but getting just away from
sitting
it.
Sitting out there. It's not noisy.
Yeah, it's not noisy.
Light pollution's probably low.
Yeah. So and you're going home to the folks?
No, I'm going to Utah.
That's right.
By
that's
Rachel's.
Right. Cool.
Rachel's family.
Right on, buddy.
Well, this has been, well, it's not the end of the year yet. We still got the what episode might show up next week as the end of the year episode.
Yeah.
Which we might record tomorrow or we'll put out that bullshit we did last night. I'll listen to that back. Anyway, all right. Thanks, everybody.
Do we want to do Comic of the Week?
Oh, yeah. Forgetting our things. Comic of the Week.
You want to do it or you want me to do it?
What do you got?
I mean, I always got somebody I'm happy to talk about, but if I feel like I've kind of hogged that recently. If you've got somebody, go ahead. If not, I got
no,
one.
I had somebody last night and I couldn't remember it.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, I didn't write it on the board here, and that was me really effing it up.
Yeah.
Who's your Comic of the Week?
I'm going to say Shane Moss.
Okay.
You know Shane Moss?
I do know Shane.
M-A-U-S-S.
Yeah.
M-A-U-S-S. Shane Moss. Dude, he's just a funny dude. And he might still be on this. I think when this comes out, he's still in the middle of an 80-city tour. He's doing 80 cities.
Why?
He's been out for a while. Wow. 80-city tour, and it's a specific show.
Yeah.
He's very, what's the word when someone produces a lot?
Prolific.
Prolific. He's very prolific. He did a whole hour on just the topic of psychedelics. His show that he's touring right now is all about his experiences and his opinions with psychedelics. And I believe it's called A Good Trip. And I think think there's even an album. He's put that out on an album or... has he? I don't know.
He's been doing a lot of psychedelics.
He's got a few great albums. He's got a lot of albums. Got a few good ones. My Big Break. He did a whole album about breaking both his heels. He was camping or something. He jumped down.
I remember
off of
that. Yeah, he jumped off a ledge and broke both his feet.
Oh my God! He was on crutches for like 9 months. An album about that. I think his first one was Jokes to Make My Parents Proud. Came out 2010, maybe. Hilarious.
I'm looking at this tour schedule. It's wildly unnecessary.
And Shane's an interesting dude. Really kind of one of the main proponents or vocal proponents of DMT.
Yeah.
He's always talking about DMT, which
do
is
we,
a,
do we have you done that?
I have not. I hear it's intense.
Do we have to do it?
I don't know, but I don't know if it's technically in a hallucinogenic. I think it is. It's definitely in that that realm of the psychedelics.
Oof.
But yeah, Shane's an interesting dude. Very well read. Does a lot of this kind of his wheelhouse is a lot of this science and just. I went over to his house one time and we were hanging out. He invited me over for dinner.
Yeah,
and it was just 3 hours of him. Explaining the Frozen Planet DVD that we were watching to me.
Yeah, he seems like a guy who gets obsessed with something.
Yeah. Yeah, but a very funny dude.
I know I did the Aspen HBO Comedy Festival with Shane back in 2007.
Yeah.
So that would be, yeah, wow, man, 9 years.
And I don't know this is a fact.
Almost 10 years ago.
And comics shouldn't get hung up on this and worry too much, but. Up-and-coming comics are always – they're worried about how long you've been doing it. What have you accomplished in what amount of time?
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, Shane was kind of a folk hero amongst up-and-coming comics years ago. Because if I remember correctly, he did Conan at like 3 years into comedy, which is pretty unheard of.
He was in Aspen with Dan Bolger. They were both kind of new guys. Mm-hmm. I was 8 years in when I got into Aspen. I was one of the older, new-faced dudes.
Uh-huh.
But he won, like, Best of the Fest, Best Newcomer of the Fest, like, a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And he got it, I think he got it right after that.
Yeah. Which, I mean.
Yeah.
I know that's some inside baseball, but from a comedian's perspective, to do a major late night spot 3 years into your career is quite an achievement, and also kind of terrifying.
Yeah, and also not something you can compare to anybody else's career too.
Yeah.
He went to Aspen, got seen by the people who booked Conan. Like, yeah, you can do it. You have 5 minutes. Here's a 5 minutes. He, at that time, he was a very joke mm-hmm. type guy. Wasn't a story guy, so yeah. He could pack 5 minutes filled with really great bits. And it worked out.
Yeah.
And deservedly so. Yeah. But then everybody else, if he did it, what's going on with me? Stop. Don't ever compare yourself. It's not.
Absolutely. You drive yourself crazy.
Yeah. All right. I'm exhausted looking at this tour schedule. It's ridiculous. Like, Shane, you can. Come on, man.
Go see Shane Moss. I'm sure he's in town.
You have no choice. And if he's not in your town, he'll just be there a month later. That's why I don't understand.
Also had a Netflix special. Shane. I don't know if it's still on there, but he did have a Netflix special on there for quite a while. So he's got some audio stuff. He's got some video stuff. Seek it out. Buy some stuff. Support old Shane. Good people. Good comic. Third comic of the week.
All right.
That's the Boogie Monster. Merry Christmas, buddy. I won't see you for a while, so have a good holidays. And
happy Christmas journeys. And to all a good night.
The Boogie Monster.